Welcome to the second edition of a feature we're calling 5 Minutes here at Culture Snob, in which we look at a small section of a movie, roughly 5 minutes, to explore larger issues in that film. Today's selection is JFK, and it's part of the Misunderstood Blogathon here at Culture Snob. When JFK was released in 1991, there was a furor over its assertion, its conspiracy theory. Lots of people picked it apart and questioned its facts, and my point with this little short commentary is to talk about the way that the actual conspiracy theory advanced by Oliver Stone in the movie is irrelevant, and the level of the accuracy of the facts, the accuracy of its assertions, is not terribly important for what it accomplishes. I think Oliver Stone would have you believe that this is a movie that proves that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act alone, and that proves that this is, you know, his version of events is a far more accurate picture of what happened. I don't actually think that that's particularly interesting, because the movie's not really about what happened. It's just about how we manipulate people into believing what we want them to believe. There's also an element, of course, of getting people to believe what they already want to believe. So with that said, we're going to get started. We are at the in the director's cut, the special edition director's cut. We are at the beginning of chapter 49, which is the 1 hour, 51 minute, 7 second mark. Jim Garrison has been talking to X, the man he's meeting in Washington, D.C. And as we get started, on the count of three, X is essentially running through his credentials. 1, 2, 3. What's interesting here to me is that X has given Jim Garrison no credentials, no paper that says who he is. He's given him no indication that he'll be able to verify anything he's saying. He's just listing off all the things he's done, all the impressive, his impressive role in all these military black operations. And during this little sequence, we're seeing all sorts of stock footage, historical footage, and throughout the movie, there's the basic MO is to have somebody telling a story that's possibly hearsay, and we have no reason to trust these people who are telling these stories, and yet there's the use of recreations and stock footage to give them a sense of veracity. It's essentially propaganda. You are being told that something happened, and because you might actually question what you're hearing, they're showing it to you, and through the act of recreation, it's giving it more weight. Well, right now, X is sort of setting up the conspiracy, which is that Kennedy wanted to get our troops out of Vietnam, and the military establishment, because of the Bay of Pigs, wanted to get rid of him. Here's a recreation where X is going to see his superior and being sent over to the South Pole, basically. Again, why do we believe that this actually happened? Well, we believe it because we're seeing it right in front of us. It has the authority of the visual that's reinforced by the, that's reinforcing the story that's being told by X to Jim Garrison. I think that the key thing for me is that Oliver Stone at this point could be telling us that flying monkeys killed Kennedy, and I think there would be a good number of people who would believe it. There's this accumulation of details, coincidences, people with ulterior motives, people who are not trustworthy, and the whole dense mass of that creates this sort of big ball that rolls down the hill. And in the end, if you've suspended your disbelief at all, which is sort of a premise of feature films, you're going along with it. That doesn't make it true, nor does it make it credible. It's simply an illustration of one of the uses of cinema, which is to convince you of something being true, to give something the force of reality when it's fantasy or at best speculation. This scene, I think, is particularly crucial because it gives sort of this investigation that had been at times floundering and all over the place and lots of different ideas being thrown about. It gives it somebody who knew basically verifying the concern or the ideas that Garrison already had. Now we're talking about the security detail in Dallas and how he's basically arguing that it's not possible that this could have happened unless the military allowed it to happen. You know, that this kind of lax security could not have been just a matter of laziness or innocent mistakes, that there had to be some larger conspiracy behind it. And then we're going into some of the other coincidences that kind of bolster that case. The phones going out in Washington, D.C. Who could have best done this? Black ops, people in my business. Those are the words that X says. And of course, X is... there's one of the most amazing things about this is that there's, while X is in a high position in the military at this point, he's speculating with no more evidence than Jim Garrison really has. They're basically two conspiracy theorists stroking each other off, I think. Now there's the entire cabinet being in the Far East. The Washington, D.C. phone system being out for an hour at 12:34 p.m. Sound like coincidences to you? Says X. Not for one moment. He could not be allowed to escape alive. Pause and a sigh. I never thought things were the same after that. And then, I think, and there we'll stop our little segment, but it's about the 57-minute mark, but the... there's essentially a surrogate here for Oliver Stone and for Jim Garrison. It's essentially sort of a mirror effect in the sense that X is philosophically of the same mind as they are. He is somebody who feels strongly about getting the troops out of Vietnam. So he was sympathetic anyway. So he's bound to believe a conspiracy. He's bound to come up with a conspiracy. But there's the entire style of the movie, that this montage, the snippets of different film stocks, of different portrayals of what's being told through verbally, is simply a reinforcement of them. It's essentially a self-fulfilling prophecy. Somebody's telling you a story, you're seeing it, you're going to believe it. It's a way to essentially manipulate your audience. It doesn't mean that JFK is a bad movie. I think, on the other hand, it's a phenomenal illustration of the power of cinema. But JFK does not in any way prove anything about the JFK assassination.